Our reading tonight is going to be from the Old Testament and in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And this saying is very significant in the history and in the teaching of Israel. It's called the Shema, because of that verb at the beginning of verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Shema, O Israel. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land where he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee that great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Amen. And may God add his blessing and give to us understanding that reading of his own holy word. We continue singing his praise, this time from a portion of Psalm 21. Psalm 21, and we're going to break in to read and sing from verse 3. We normally start from the beginning of it, but I want to go to verse 3 because We want to reach verse 7. For thou with blessings him prevent'st of goodness manifold, and thou hast set upon his head a crown of purest gold. When he desired life of thee, thou life to him didst give, even such a length of days that he forevermore should live. In that salvation wrought by thee, his glory is made great. Honour and comely majesty thou hast upon him set, because that thou forevermore most blessed hast him made. And thou hast with thy countenance made him exceeding glad, because the king upon the Lord his confidence doth lay, and through the grace of the Most High shall not be moved away. That sense of security and safety that comes out there in verse 7, which we're going to hold on to for our study later on this evening. Psalm 21 then, and verse 3 through to 7, these five stanzas. For thou with blessings him prevent'st. We turn tonight to continue our studies in these series of psalms, the pilgrim psalms or the pilgrim songs as we call them. And we're coming tonight to Psalm 127, which we will now read. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This, the pilgrim song, the motto of Edinburgh City, is taken from the first verse of this psalm. The Latin, if I can try to struggle to pronounce it, is Nisi Dominus Frustrata. That simply means, three words, without the Lord, it is vain. The motto of Edinburgh. And it highlights the simple lesson that is repeated in this psalm. We will look at several different areas that the psalmist brings up before us, but the lesson that he wants to emphasize in each and every one of them is the same. Without the Lord, it is vain. Or to put it in its positive terms, it is important for the city, as well as these other things we look at. It's important that we have the Lord at the foundation. We have the Lord as our traveling companion. And we have the blessings of the Lord upon us, whatever we do. No matter what human work, no matter what human effort might be engaged in, even for the Lord, it will not be fruitful unless and until the Lord blesses it with his own involvement, with his own commitment, and with his own presence. This is the spiritual foundation of Edinburgh, but surely it must be the spiritual foundation of any city in these days. Well, that's the application of that text now, in our day. But what was its significance in the days and the situation and the context we find it in here in Psalm 127? What's the context of it here for us? How does it fit into this picture that we've been building up of people journeying to Jerusalem, going there to worship? How does it fit in with the experiences they've got along the way? And What lessons can we take out of it for ourselves in our spiritual journey in our day? Well, we remind ourselves that this psalm and this journey that we're talking about is a journey that is taking place after the people have returned from the exile in Babylon. Remember what we were looking at last Wednesday night, Psalm 126, and the way in which that psalm speaks about and remembers particularly the past times for the nation. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, when the Lord reversed it, when the Lord overcame it, when the Lord brought his people back from exile, restored them to the land. And even when they came into this land on return, they faced a huge and enormous challenge. The land had been devastated and derelict for 70 years. The walls of the temple and the city were crumbling down. Weeds had sprung up all over the place. Animals had infected and invested the land. Wherever it was possible, there was a Samaritan's strangers dwelling in the land. Huge challenge they faced. And yet we're told in Psalm 126 that they laughed. They dreamed. Why? Why were they so joyful facing such a situation? Simply because of the amazing intervention of the Lord. He was with them from the very start. The very initiative started with the Lord in the year 539. When King Cyrus came to the throne, in the book of Esther we're told the history of it. And Cyrus made a decree underneath the influence of God's Spirit upon his mind. He made a decree that the people would be allowed to return home. The people and the vessels that were used in the sanctuary to worship God. Not only that, but Cyrus made provision for whatever was needed for the rebuilding project back home when they got there. And that kind of remembrance and recollection in Psalm 126 stimulated the prayers of the people as they went to Jerusalem. That stimulated the prayers. We read it there, turn again our captivity, O Lord. There, remembering what happened in the past, his people are saying, Lord, do it again. Visit us again. That's what the prayer was in Psalm 126. But now we come to 127. And now the focus is upon the responsibility of the people themselves. Yes, we've made our prayer. What if the Lord hears and answers our prayer? What are we going to do? What must we do? This psalm looks at three very simple but big projects. Three simple but big activities. This psalm, short as it is, speaks about buildings. It speaks about the security of the city. And it speaks about blessings on families. Now, why would he use these three themes? How do we understand why he's chosen these three things? Buildings. Well, he's just come out of exile. And they were thinking of the ruin. And they were thinking of the restoration. And they were thinking of the property that was to be built. And it was going to be built with an acknowledgement that it was the Lord that was doing it among them. There was that acknowledgement that it was the Lord that was with them, enabling them, giving them plans as well as giving them strength to achieve what they were to do. The building, not just physical, as we'll see in a minute, but the whole structure of society, built upon a foundation of acknowledging God. We'll leave it there just because there's a lesson that we've got for here. Not only that, but there was the security of the city. And again, there was no defence whatsoever when they were taken away into exile. There was no defence whatsoever against the Assyrian army. Why? Because the Lord was not with them. They had offended him. He had withdrawn his influence amongst them. And there was no defence against the Assyrians coming. And then they talk about the nation, the families. Well, the future and the survival of the nation of Israel, of Judah, the future and the survival of the nation rested on the family unit, built on a relationship with the Lord. That's why they picked perhaps these three things to look at: buildings and the building of society, security and the security of the nation, families and the fundamental building block of that society. All of these things for the rebuilding of the nation as they return to the land, all of these things have got to be done now on a proper foundation, acknowledging the Lord. Surely we can even just simply pause there and see the application to ourselves. We'll come to it at the end, but we can see the need for that same acknowledgement amongst ourselves in our day. But there's a particular focus why these things were taken. These three areas were three areas where Solomon failed. These were three areas where Solomon failed in that same requirement of honouring the Lord. Buildings. If you go back to 1 Kings 9 and 1 Kings 10 and 11, you'll find the three things that I want to speak about. But just simply to mention, first of all, the buildings. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verses 10 through to 19, the way in which Solomon built umpteen houses all over the land. Houses for his chariots and houses for his horses and houses for this and houses for that. His building project was out of control. He was doing whatever he wanted. And there wasn't the acknowledgement of the Lord in what he was doing. Secondly, we talk about security and the security of the nation. And again, simply comes out. Let me go back to 1 Kings, this time chapter 11 and verse 11. Who reads this said about Solomon? Wherefore the Lord said unto him, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commands and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Security of the nation, their kingdom was taken from him. And in that very same chapter, 1 Kings chapter 11, go to the very beginning of that chapter, and you'll find there that Solomon had so many concubines and so many mistresses and so many females. And one of them that we're going to mention later on was Pharaoh's daughter. Family life failed underneath the rule of Solomon. And so therefore these people, yes, they're asking for a repetition. But they're asking for a repetition from the Lord. They are not asking for the repetition of Solomon's faults. That's why they pick these three areas. To build us up as a nation, we need the building on a proper foundation. So let's just simply go through these three things. They're familiar, perhaps, territory to us. Let's just refresh our mind and memory of them. First of all, Solomon speaks here about the building of society. And then secondly, he goes on to talk about the guarding of the city. And the third thing that he speaks about is the establishing of the home. The building of society, We are not limiting this application or the meaning to simply bricks and mortar. Here we are extending the picture and the application right out into all of the infrastructure of the building and layers of society as they returned from exile. They're talking here about enterprises, undertakings, the things that hold a society together, the business, the commerce, all of these things. That's what's been spoken about in these verses. And the emphasis that he keeps on repeating is this need for the Lord's blessing in and for the prosperity of the nation. There are two simple ways that he sets it out for these people and for ourselves. Only two ways. There is the success under the blessing of the Lord, or there's failure. There is success, or it's a vain exercise, and there's nothing else in between. So the simple and unmistakable truth for society then and for society now depends not just on good plans, not just on hard work, not just on honest endeavor. The success of society then and now depends upon the unseen, but the vital influence and blessing of God, who will own and acknowledge for himself what is done by his people and will give his blessing on what they're doing. We have, usually it comes out at times of elections, but so often we hear the phrase being spoken about, today we're going to go about rebuilding a better society. How often we've heard that or something similar as a political motif. We're going to rebuild a better society. Great plans, lofty schemes, social provision, and many other things being put out in that name. But that is not enough. There is that vital need of a blessing of the Lord upon all of these plans. That's what this psalm is speaking about. Except the Lord bless these ventures in the building of a new society, then ultimately it will be in vain. And he goes on in verse 2 to talk about what might be involved in this great plan of building a better society. Oh yes, you think of a leader. A leader, a premier, a prime minister, whatever be the rank. You think of somebody that is involved in this building out of the ruin of the nation to build a better society. You think of the challenge and the demands on any party, or even more on any one person. And you find that they're burning the night oil. It's vain for you to sit up late. Or if they're not burning the night oil, they're then up early with the bird. It's vain for you to rise up early. Because in between these two markers, either an early bird or a night owl, what is it that they're going to have? They're going to feed on the bread of sorrows. All of these demands and all of these schemes, anxiety and sorrow is going to be their daily companion. If that's all, demanding as it is, if that's all that they're doing, demanding 25-hour days, we might say, if that's what they're doing, even with that degree of application, it's going to be in vain. Something I remember, I'm not sure about the figure, but I think I've got it right. Margaret Thatcher, when she was in Downing Street as Prime Minister, she had 5 hours sleep every night. That's all. 5 hours sleep. Psalm 118 tells us something applicable in this. It goes on, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Yes, we have work. We apply ourselves fully. We do all that is within our ability and with all of the strength and application that we've got. But then, having done everything, we commit it to the Lord. And that's what it speaks about here when he says, he gives his beloved sleep. Having done everything, we commit it to the Lord, and the Lord gives us rest and freedom from undue anxiety. Peace is the consequence of committing all things to the Lord. There is that Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That primarily we take as an application to the peace, the spiritual peace that God gives to his people, but it's not limited and exclusively simply in that area. There is a peace that ranges out in every department of life as we commit our affairs to the Lord. Again, the words very familiar from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and application, let your requests be made known to God. Be not anxious over much, is what it says. Unburden yourself on the Lord. And that means applying, yes, the small things in your life and mine. Here we're talking about the big scale things. We're talking about building society. We're talking about that scale of challenge and work. But let's take it right down to ourselves, to the small and personal things in our life, as well as the big affairs of state. And there the Lord has the same prescription for us, to unburden our hearts and our interests on him. And he gives his beloved sleep. He gives the stillness and silence so that the activity of man is ruled out. When the Lord answers, this is part of the application. When the Lord answers, he answers when man is not involved. When he's silent and off the scene. And so often that's done simply so that he has all the glory, and it's seen all the clearer that he's the one who's given the blessing. So here it is, first of all, yes, on its large scale, but it comes right down to application to ourselves, the building of society. The second thing that he talks about here, and bearing in mind it's the same lesson that he's repeating for the Lord to be acknowledged, the second thing that he talks about is the guarding of the city. Now, defense of any arrangement can have a whole manner of options. There's the waves of defense that are deployed in any situation. There's the long range defense when the enemy are first within range, the long range artillery or such like. Then as they come closer, there's the obstacles put in the way to deploy and to delay and to stumble the mechanics, the traffic, the movement of vehicles. And then when it gets closer still, there's the hand-to-hand fighting of man with man. And as you look at the deployment of all these waves, it can be quite a formidable barrage of defense. But yet, if the Lord is not part of that deployment, ultimately it will fail. If there is no acknowledgement of the Lord, then that's a fatal weakness in that defense set out. Yes, guarding the city, done by the Lord, but having expended all our energies and efforts first and foremost. There is this, again, take the simple principle and extract it to ourselves. this safety, guarding the city. Well, that same safety and need for guarding comes at different levels to ourselves. We need our nation of Scotland to be guarded and to be kept safe from so many different threats against us in our day. We need ourselves that same level of safety, security and guarding as we go in and out our daily lives in a society which is hostile to ourselves. And there's also the need for safety and protection against and is for God's church with all the enemies that are ranged against her. So often dangers come. We can look at the way the church does things today. There can be great efforts made and great things undertaken purely with outward form and habit. And there's the lesson of Samson to be applied to that. Remember when Samson stirred himself and went up, and so all was in the past, but this time the Lord was not with him. People can go through the outward form of things, but the Lord is not there, neither to bless nor to keep safe. Not only that, but there's another danger, the danger from pride and sin from within. We can look at the church and we can see the church growing and developing and expanding. There's always the danger of, well, that's what I've done. That's what I've achieved. And the Lord will not tolerate that kind of detraction from his own glory. We read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, our God is a jealous God. And he will not allow anyone to take glory from himself. Go back to the familiar words in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at the end of that chapter. And the people had bypassed and they see the building collapsed and they see everything in ruin. And they look at it with awe and with amazement and they ask, what happened here? And then they're told, what happened here is that God's people indulged in idolatry, whatever be its nature. And the Lord would not tolerate it, and the Lord took it down. Even the very place where he said he was going to dwell in. Jeremiah 7 and verse 12, bring home the same lesson. Jeremiah says, go on, look back at What does he say? He says, chapter 7 and verse 12, he says, go now unto my place which was in Shiloh. That's the word I was looking for. Where I set my name at the first. And see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Yes, the Lord pulled down. If he's not acknowledged in that presence. When you look at this experience on a more personal, on a more positive level. Think of God's people when they came out of Egypt. Here they were, they had no resource, no army, they had no experience of conflict or battle. They were a vulnerable people and a great number of people. And yet, what do we read about them? Exodus chapter 13. We have this cloud fire that was round about them to protect them and to preserve them. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 9, you find the same thing said. Yes, that guided them, but it also kept them safe. The evidence that the Lord was with his people, and because the Lord was with his people, so they were safe. Go back to what we were thinking about. Was it 2 years ago now at the New Year's address in Psalm 80? And there the prayer in verse 3, verse 7, verse 19. Lord, lift upon us the light of thy countenance. And what does the verse go on to say? And so we shall be safe. Guarding the city, any degree or experience of security and safety, it comes only from the presence of the Lord with his people. And that safety comes because of the way the Lord looks down on his own with a loving kindness. He looks down on his own because of the covenant he's made with them and he'll keep with them. Of the way in which he has made them his own precious redeemed people. Go back to the familiar words of Isaiah 43. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. What a precious experience that is to the Lord's people, that he keeps them safe, not because of anything in us, but just simply because of what he's resolved to do himself. The guarding of the city, the guarding of the people, the guarding of the nation. It's been a while since we've had the Eastern European nations collapsing. But you think of the Stasi or different secret police organizations in Eastern Europe and so many different lands. They were there and they ruled with a rod of fear. They had family betraying family and friends spying on neighbors. But even with their degree of fear and the recruitment in so many different areas, still they were not able to keep safe and they were not able to ensure the survival of that nation and people as was constructed at that time, and it collapsed. You think of the Arab Spring that's taking place along the Med and around the north of Africa in these last 2 years. Again, nations that were dependent on that same exercise of fear, and yet they have collapsed, they have not survived. And even the nation, the system that's come up in their place, even now in recent days, that again is collapsing. There's nothing to support them because they're not built on the right foundation. They're not built on the foundation of acknowledging God, who is the one and only one who can guard, keep safe and bless. The motto of Edinburgh: without the Lord, it's vain. We mentioned Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. I mentioned there particularly that he was married to one of Pharaoh's daughters. One of the failings of Solomon: he was looking for defense. He was looking for safety. He was looking for protection. The best way of doing it? Let's have an arranged marriage. Let's try by marriage to recruit Egypt on our side. Let's try and do it that way. And of course we know the outcome of that. It collapsed and the nation was taken from him. Imagine using marriage as a form of defense for the nation. And here the Lord is saying, no. The defense of the nation, the defense of people, the defense of you and me, wherever we are, it is first and foremost and only from the Lord. Right down to a personal level. Go back to what James tells us at the end of chapter 4. People say, well, I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then James brings in the wise counsel. And he says, yes, we're going to do these things, but we're going to do them God willing. Only as we bring our lives underneath the will and the protection of the Lord. That's what he's counseling. And that's what we need today. Guarding the city. Who's going to guard the city? Ecclesiastes 9. The race is not to the strong or to the swift. Well, if the race is not to that, who is it to? Who is it that's going to give safety if man can't defend? We hear the echo of Psalm 121. My safety cometh from the Lord. Building a society, guarding a city. Thirdly, and very briefly, establishing a home. Right at the very beginning of this verse 3, he says, lo, Now that's a device, it's a Hebrew word that makes us stop on what its force is. Listen, take note of this. There's something that needs to be emphasized then, and there's something needs to be repeated now. Take note of this. This same principle that he's been putting out in the building of society and in the guarding of the city, it now comes and applies to homes, families and children. There was always a longing in the Jewish mentality and nation. There was always a longing to have big families. Because big families meant, as we're told at the end of this chapter, of this psalm, strength in their old age. Whenever there were children from their youth, whenever the father or the mother came into old age, then these children of the youth had grown up and they were there to protect their parents. And that's the thinking of the nation of Israel. Judah will be preserved and continued by God's blessing upon families and homes and children. Children that are taught well in the scriptures. Children that are prayed over. Children that are given and teaching and given an example. Children that come out of a home where the Lord is acknowledged. That's the kind of family, that's the kind of home, that's the kind of house that has been established and spoken of here, where the Lord is the unseen guest, as that little plaque on the wall often reminds us. The unseen guest at so many activities in that home. And that same emphasis has to be grasped hold of and repeated today. We need this Christian influence at the most basic and fundamental level of our society and of family life. The promise that we take and repeat and hear so often at baptisms. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The blessing of the Lord in the nurture and in the upbringing of children. That's the way Judah was going to survive and to continue. And that's what we need in our society of Scotland today. But today, unfortunately, we see Christian influence being rubbed out and removed. And so we see the cracks developing. And ultimately the crumbling will start. And ruin will be about us. So what we need to do ourselves is, yes, where we've got the opportunity and the influence, to establish a Christian home along these lines. But also to support others and pray for other societies and individuals, that they might repeat the same walk, go down the same path, have the same talk, and know the same blessing. That's what he's looking for his day and for ours. A home life on whose foundation are built every aspect of life, the foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ. So society today, the infrastructure of our nation is built, but on what? Is it on a political foundation of what is expedient? Let's think of what's going to get the biggest number of votes at the next election and we'll do it. A high-speed train service from here to there. Some kind of a structure about building in the north or in the south. Let's give some kind of sop to the greatest number of people to get them to vote for us. Long ago there was a fearful project in Westminster Council in London, where they were allocating houses and flats to people that were sympathetic to the Conservative Party so that they would get the votes at the next local government election. It was there some dame, some lady was in charge of it. She was doing that quite deliberately, exposed and taken to task for it. That's so often what happens. Building society on political foundations when we need to build them on the scriptural foundation of acknowledging the Lord, seeking his counsel always. And yet how much reliance is there on the Lord? Not only for building society, but guarding and keeping our nation safe. Oh yes, perhaps when a crisis looms, we're called on to pray. Perhaps when the crisis is over, we're called on to give thanks. But is there that regular dependence on the Lord for our ordinary, everyday safety and our acknowledgement of Him day after day? I think not. Family life being dismantled. The basic structures of society, marriage, are being dismantled. The home and the children's environment are being eroded and chipped away. What confidence then for our nation to survive if by our laws and by our actions and our everyday events we deny any input or involvement of the Lord? We're excluding Him from our thinking and our living. We have a saying, I'm going to do it my way. That is a recipe for disaster. It's vain to do it my way. It won't work. The priority the Lord set before us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That same challenge set before us in every ordinary affairs, in the building of our society, in the foreign policy that we have, in the defense review of our nation, whatever be it today, that is a place where we've got to bring our Lord and our God, and we've got to be prepared to acknowledge Him. For it's only when the Lord builds that there will be safety, security, and blessing. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as a nation we have received great good things from Thyself. Our history is richly decorated with the way in which Thine hands have been opened so often in the past to be abundant in the blessings bestowed. And how quick we have forgotten, passed by, and even become hardened against that history and its lessons. And so we are reaping the consequences now today. Lord, bring us to the point of solemn reflection. Bring us to the point where we think again, lest we go any further down this road. And Lord, in Thy grace and by Thy strength, with the experience of repentance upon us, as a nation, turn us back to Thyself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Oh, we close by singing from Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and we're singing at verse 10. And we're going through to verse 14, four stanzas. God, doth the counsel bring to naught which heathen folk do take? And what the people do devise of none effect doth make? And then there's this contrast now. But the counsel of the Lord doth stand forever sure, and of His heart the purposes from age to age endure. That nation blessed is whose God Jehovah is. A blessed people are whom for His heritage He chose. The Lord from heaven sees and beholds all sons of men full well. He views all from His dwelling place that in the earth do dwell. Psalm 33, and we're singing from verse 10 to 14. God doth the counsel bring to naught. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.